I've got with me today someone called Ed McCallum. Hello, Ed. Can you hear me?
Hello, Eva. Yes.
Yes, I can hear you, and you can hear me. Now then, building loft conversions and providing accommodation for students is your day job. Is that about right?
That's correct.
That's correct. And but at the weekend, I believe you take to the skies in your microlight. So can you just tell me a bit about that? And like when you started and what you started for and why you did it? What was your plan?
Microlighting us, I've been doing it now 19 years.
Have you really?
Yes. I learned to fly at Esher Airfield, which is sort of the home of flying.
But it's not your patch, is it? I mean, you were from down Gateshead way, weren't
you? Yes, I used to travel weekends from Gateshead.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And who did you know there? Was there somebody that you'd come across in your day job that introduced you to microlighting, though? Because you couldn't have just fallen upon it.
It was a friend I used to know through another sport, and he introduced us to microlighting. And
was
I wasn't that keen on it, actually. He sort of pushed us into it.
All right. And what was the other sport?
Scuba diving.
We
spent a lot of time up in the Northumberland coast.
Oh, right. Up to St. Abbs Head and places like that.
St. Abbs, predominantly the Farn Islands areas, and off the coasts of Beedon and the Tyne. Yeah.
So you got into microlighting then. Why didn't you just go for ordinary aeroplanes then?
To get a licence costs a lot less than general aviation.
Uh-huh. Is that your phone just working there, or is
no,
it mine?
It's going to be yours. One of the reasons, yes, cost.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very handy, North Esher Airfield.
And do you, to get a licence to fly a microlight, does that take less time than an ordinary aeroplane, or is it just the same?
Because it can take a lot less time. Uh-huh. One of the problems we have in Northumberland is the weather, which can take the test quite a period.
Yeah, and I suppose...
Particularly with microlights, because they're a bit more prone to the weather than...
Than ordinary aeroplanes?
Yes, the ordinary general aviation aircraft.
And there's a couple of types of aircraft that I've seen in the fields. There's sort of an ordinary-looking thing that's got a fixed wing. Is that more like an aeroplane to fly, then, rather than those ones that look like you're hanging and dangling from the bottom?
Most people associate a microlight with the hang glider type wing.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Which is right. Mm-hmm. Probably 75-80% of microlights are still that version.
Mm-hmm.
With the advent of legislation and permit to fly aircraft, the microlights can be bigger now. They can be heavier. That's what defines a microlight. It's predominantly its weight.
Mm.
So now in the UK, the Civil Aviation Authority allow them to go up to 450 kilograms.
Right, and does that include all your kit and all
Yes, that's all the total, all of weight. Passengers.
Fuel?
Two big passengers.
And fuel?
Fuel, everything. It cannot exceed the 450 mark.
So, does that restrict you on how far you can go then? If you haven't got that much fuel.
We've come on leaps and bounds since microlighting started in the late 70s, early 80s. This is when people literally put that lawnmower engine on the back of a hang glider, a couple of wheels on, and
so they've come on a bit since then.
Yes, massively. They're legislated now. You have to have a permit to fly annually, which is an MOT for an aircraft, and sophisticated engines. Microlights will fly anywhere from 40 mile an hour up to 125
I didn't know they could fly that fast.
Yeah.
I thought they were restricted. Actually, I thought I read somewhere that there was a restriction on the speed. I thought that was one of the restrictions.
No, that's not true. I mean, that certain aircraft have restrictions on speed.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of speeds not to exceed.
Right.
For that particular aircraft.
Who's going to stop you?
Well, the aircraft itself will probably not.
There's no policeman up there going to stop you and say you were speeding.
Mm-hmm. No, very difficult. No speed cameras
in the sky.
Above 6 foot.
And where do you fly from?
Well, I now fly from my own farm strip. We call them farm strips.
Mm-hmm.
Just a couple of miles northeast of Long Framlington.
All right. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've got a little strip there.
Mm-hmm. And do you have to have permission to have that strip there? Do you have sort of planning permission?
If you own the land, you can fly legally from your field.
Mm-hmm.
You're allowed 28 days a year. This is right, a 28 day rule. It covers lots of other things, not just micro lighting or flying. But recently, earlier this year, we got full planning permission for the aircraft at my field. With restrictions.
Does that mean that other people can come and go as well?
They can, under certain conditions. We they have to phone up and ask. And as long as I don't exceed my quota for that day, which is the amount of takeoffs and landings the council has allowed.
Right, And do you have to watch out for animals? Animals?
Oh, yes, I do have a lot of sheep on the airfield.
Do they not mind?
The sheep don't. I mean, the sheep doesn't know the difference between a quad bike or a tractor and a microlight. Horses can be a bit flighty, although I have got some horses. There's a girl who keeps a few horses out, but they get used to them.
Yeah.
These animals get used to things. I mean, if you can get used to the military jets, I'm sure you can get used to them.
Well, I was going to ask that question. Do you ever get to the point where you're concerned about going up? I mean, could you ever get caught? Because they're not going to stop, are they? I should think they've got right of way, have they?
Right of way? No. It's free airspace around Northumberland to a certain height, which we would never exceed that height. The military, no, it's what people don't realise. The military don't really do any low flying on a weekend. They do none.
Oh, right. So,
your Saturdays and Sundays are free.
Right. I didn't know
from
that.
From military interference. But Monday to Friday, the RAF can be busy.
Oh,
there's lots of places you can ring. You can ring RAF bases or even local Newcastle City Airport or Boomer, and they'll tell you whether it's going to be intense that day.
Right.
Or not. Some days you'll see a lot of activity, other days you'll see very little.
And I suppose if you see a few aircraft around any time during the day, you'd think, well, it's not a... You just keep an eye out, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't...
And I mean, most microlights will fly at a height above ground level at anywhere from 1,500 foot to 2,000 feet.
And, I mean, what's the lowest a big jet would go? Because they seem to be very low, and they're not that low, are they not?
Well, they're low flying, that's what they're training for. 250 foot above the ground. Oh,
really?
Yeah.
That is low. It's no wonder they give you...
Yeah,
yeah.
Not us.
No. So when you're up there, when you're up in the skies, what sort of navigation aids do you have? Are you the same as cars? Or you have GPSs and things
now? Yeah, we have GPS. You can... fly with charts, special aeronautical charts.
Which you must have had to until recently.
This is the early days, we didn't bother with GPSs. But now GPS, transponders, they're very much equipped on microlights.
Does that mean you can fly at night?
No, it's against the law to fly a microlight at night.
Is that the same with light aircraft as well?
A special endorsement on your license, you can have a night rating.
I didn't know that was
no microlights have quite a bit restricted
So is that sort of dawn till dusk? There must be a time. What I was saying about the fuel, I mean, if you're restricted on how much you can carry, does that mean you can't travel far? I mean, do you go in just in the British Isles, or do you go further than that?
Most people will just fly locally. We're fortunate here because we have a very nice county to fly in.
I suppose so. You don't want to go too far, do you?
No.
You don't need to.
But we've travelled. We've had some great adventures in my microlight.
Have you?
Yeah. I mean, this year we flew from Northumberland, and this is flying from Northumberland. A lot of people think, oh, well, you must have put it on a trailer and took it there.
So you flew from Long Framlington?
Yes. And we stopped over in St Helier on Jersey.
All right.
Yeah.
Was that one flight?
No, it wasn't. We actually landed in the South Midlands.
Right,
That was mainly to pick up some of the lads. It's a close-knit community throughout the British Isles. Fly with lads from Lincolnshire, Nottinghamshire. Anyway, from St Helier in Jersey, the next year we flew across France, all the way down to the south of France, then off to Corsica,
right,
which is... the island.
So you
French
crossed
island.
A fair bit of sea at that point.
About 70 miles of sea. A couple of nights in Corsica. And then from there we went into Italy. Across Italy to the east coast of Italy, the Adriatic. And down the Adriatic coast of Italy to the heel of Italy.
How long are you talking about? I mean, how long does it take you to travel? How fast do you go? Normally?
Cruise speed about 120 mile an hour.
All right, so you could get over from
in a straight line
across the sea over in a
you If weather conditions are favourable, you can cover a lot of ground.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think you could go that fast.
And if you know, 3 hours, close on 400 miles.
Yeah. So then you got to the far coast of Italy, and then you went to the Adriatic. Did you go across to Yugoslavia? Oh, what is it called now? Which bit did you go?
Well, we actually went down all the way down the coast of Italy to the Heel.
Mm-hmm.
The bit that sticks out at the bottom. Everybody's familiar with the bit of Italy.
Yeah.
And then across to Corfu, which again was quite a big water crossing.
Uh-huh.
And we had a couple of nights in Corfu town.
Mm-hmm.
Then my return trip took us through Albanian airspace.
Right.
Then on to Croatia,
mm-hmm.
where we had a night in Dubrovnik.
All right, uh-huh.
Then up further up the Adriatic coast to Slovenia.
Mm-hmm.
Then from Slovenia back across to Italy.
Over the top bit.
Yeah, right at the top. Yeah, we're now in the southeast corner of the Alps.
Mm-hmm. Just before you go further than that, how do you land? Where do you land? I mean, you've got your passport with you. You have to carry a passport with you.
Yes.
Yeah, and I suppose you're in the European Union, but there are still restrictions on where you can land. Surely, are there not? Do people check your passport when you get out?
Yes, they do.
Oh, do they?
Every time you cross an international border, you have to file a flight plan.
Right. With who?
With whoever's aviation authority you're involved with. French, Italian.
So they know you're coming into their airspace?
Yes, they do.
Ah, right.
And then we use radio.
Right.
So we'll radio them up. Because we landed at international airports here.
We've
been there on holiday, maybe, have you?
I haven't.
Well, it's a big airport, very busy.
Yeah.
Dubrovnik,
mm-hmm.
very busy.
Mm-hmm. You're not just landing in little airstrips?
No.
Right.
We try to.
Uh-huh.
When we're in the country of France or Italy or Spain or wherever we've been, we try to stick to smaller airfields, mainly for charges.
Oh,
it can be
quite
expensive, some of the handling charges at some of the big airports.
Yeah, so getting back to it, you're on the top of the Italian bit, so you're going up towards the Alps now, are you?
That's right, that was where our intended route home, but we got stuck in the it's a place called the Aosta Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the big problems with microlighting is the weather.
Right.
I mean, I've just mentioned we left Northumberland,
mm-hmm.
Jersey, France.
Mm-hmm.
We could have ended up having 3 days in Lincolnshire.
Fog.
Yeah, fog. Bad weather, strong winds. I mean, just been hearing on the radio as I came here. Heathrow's grounded with fog.
Yeah, so it could happen to any little aircraft, just the same.
Most commonly with microlights.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. So what happened then? You went, and was it cloudy? Is that what your problem was, or was it snow?
No, cloud, thunderstorms over the mountains. Obviously, we can't fly in cloud.
Mm-hmm.
We have to fly within sight of the ground. There's other conditions. Yeah.
So if the cloud's too low, you can't fly because you can't go that low to the ground.
Mm.
I suppose in the Alps as well, there's a lot of hills there.
You don't want to go into the side of a mountain.
No, you don't. I suppose people do. Don't. I mean, there are fatalities from time to time, aren't there?
Actually come to grief.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So eventually...
Visibility is one of the biggest problems.
Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, even in this area, you know, you could go over the Cheviots and get into trouble.
You could.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I mean, you can see this ahead, though, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. If you see it's clear, I suppose you go, and if it's not you probably wouldn't bother because it's not worth it.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Or turn back.
Yeah. So you spent a few nights in Italy. Do you get to the point where you really want to come home? Is that what happens? Or are you quite happy?
Well, we planned this a 2-week trip, and it ended up being a 2.5-week trip.
Right. Uh-huh.
You know, 3-4 days in Italy were bad weather.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But now we just make the most of it.
So luckily, you've got some good men at work who look after the business for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got a good partner.
Luckily. Getting back to where you actually land when you go to these countries and anywhere, you know, do you get a good reception? Do people on their little land strips, are they quite happy for you to come in, or do you have to move rung ahead? How do you find these people?
Internet.
All right. Uh-huh.
Great now. Yeah. Mm-hmm. In the past, it was word of mouth and magazines.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're great.
Yeah.
People help you, they'll pass you under there. Once you reach one of these small airfields, whichever country it's in, they'll pass you on.
Uh-huh.
They'll know somebody 100, 200 miles down.
Right, so they'll ring ahead for you.
And they'll tell you whether it's friendly or whether it's open.
All right. Yeah. I suppose this, it's local knowledge that.
That's what it is. Yeah.
And would you would obviously do the same? Do you get people dropping in to you?
I haven't had many foreigners come in. There was a French guy once dropped in, but from Maker Lakes from around the country, he'll drop in.
Mm-hmm.
And if that, I'll pass them on to the ones I know. Maybe if they're heading further north to Scotland, there's Maker Lakes sites at East Fortune, a big one in Perth.
So you know, you've kind of had contact with, with people up there. Really, I was just wondering whether you'd ever get to the point where you drop in and it wasn't very friendly and then you have to just move on, do you? Or
very rare.
Is it?
I mean, maybe some of the bigger airports will get some of the air circuit patterns wrong.
Right.
And they're understandable and the we'll have a ticking off then.
You've had a ticking off?
Germany and Poland and
I suppose when you get officials you're gonna get things happening, aren't you? One thing I've seen an article that you wrote fairly recently in one of these micro lighting magazines. Is it something that you like to do? Do you like to write about your exploits when you've been away? Is it like a diary
I like
you keep?
Keep a good journal of the adventures.
Mm-hmm. Is it just you that does that, or is it any of your pals?
No, it's one or two of these articles.
Because I read it and I thought it was a good way to actually, you know, remember where you've been. Because
And it's information for other people. I mean, not many microlighters would actually. One of the problems is people will be is whether they're allowed to go to these places. And I mentioned one; it's St Helier on Jersey. It's always been anti-microlights.
Oh.
It's a very busy airspace. Mm-hmm. And, but if you're a transponder equipped, they will let microlights in, particularly the fixed wing.
Right.
And people reading these articles in different parts of the country will.
So they'll find out from what you're telling
from
them.
That, yeah. You know, your number's in, people will ring up and ask.
That's good. It's good information. I suppose that's, like you say, the internet does make it easier now for people, but there's still other ways to find out what's going on out there because it's not all down the internet. Now then, what have you got for next year? Have you got anything planned for the next 12 months? Because obviously.
Well, every year we have been away for the last 18 years. You know, we've been to front every country in Europe.
It's a long way to go in just a little aircraft.
Finland, all the Eastern Bloc. Estonia, Latvia and Lithuania and also down in the Balkans countries. But there is planning in the air, but...
Don't know where you're going?
Not sure yet.
Not at all. No. Well, I suppose if you... you probably get people who plan it and other people just tag along. Are you a tagger or a planner?
I like to be a tagger, but I've got a friend in Nottinghamshire who's a good planner. He likes to get his teeth into it. He's good on these.
So you get all the maps and everything ready. So, in your day job, then, I mean, what's business like at the minute?
It's not too bad. It has picked up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you mentioned before that my day job is loft conversion.
Yeah. And I mean, that's not business to business. So is it? Do you ever do any business? To business, like with other companies?
I do work for developers, yes.
Oh, do you? All right.
It's not a massive part of the work, but...
So you haven't particularly seen a decline over the last few years, have you? Has it just been steady, have you?
Yeah, I mean, the last couple of years, the banks have been very difficult lending the money.
All right.
I mean, most people, if they're going to spend 30, 40,000 on their property, they're going to borrow it.
Yeah, I suppose so. It's like anything.
The banks have been...
a bit tricky.
Yes. Whereas in the past, when we've had property recessions, the banks were pretty good.
Yeah, and that's probably what got us all into the mess, wasn't it? Maybe overlending.
Some politicians will tell you that, but maybe...
You obviously don't agree with that. So anyway, that was fascinating. It's very interesting to find out what goes on. Obviously, do you take people up in the aircraft?
Yes, you do.
Mm-hmm.
There's two-seaters. A microlight can only be a two-seater.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get three or four-seaters.
All right, with the little aircraft, you could get four in, couldn't you?
Some light aircraft, six, yes. I'll pick people up if they want to.
Just have a look around the Northumbrian coast or something. That's good.
I mean, you can be over the beaches in
minutes.
5 minutes.
Uh-huh. Well, like I said before, I didn't realise you could go that fast. Anyway, thanks for that. Good luck with the weather, because it's obviously you need it in your sport. So let's hope that next year's a good one for the next adventures you've got. That's Ed McCallum. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Yvonne.